Today being Monday, September 14th at 11:45 a.m. And I'll read off our legal statement. The Chair and General Manager of the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our Chief Legal Counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. All right, we are also missing our secretary this morning. So if I could appoint Commissioner Lahmer, would you be all right with being our secretary this morning? You're muted, Carol.
How did you know I went and got some paper?
There you are. I take that as an acceptance.
Yeah, I'll accept.
Thank you. All right, does anybody have any changes to our agenda? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from August 24th, as well as bill payments in the amount of roughly $1.3 million, and approximately $1 million of that is a transfer over to the city for intergovernmental transfer and sewer and so forth. General Manager Heron, is there anything on the bill payments that you'd like to point out?
Yes, thank you, Chair Mattern. I'd like to point out that there is 3.5 pages of inactive refunds. Those would be our deposits to our customers. It's been May since we've went through our deposits that should be returned to our customers. So therefore, we're catching up on our deposit refunds to our customers. So with that said, refunds typically go on the customer's bill. We're required by the state to pay interest. They set the rate of interest that we have to pay on our deposits. Usually in the fall of every year. So we'll probably be receiving that information here again as we come into the end of the year.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions on the bill payments or the minutes? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval.
I'll make that resolution. Oops, am I still on?
Nope, I got you. Commissioner Lahmer's got a resolution. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second.
I've got a second from Commissioner Magnuson. Any questions on the resolution? If not, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
There we go. That resolution passes. Thank you. All right, next on our agenda, we have the Planning Committee meeting minutes. And Commissioner DeBleek, I will pass that over to you. Looks like you guys met on August 21st.
Okay, thank you. Planning Commission met on the back first of last month. We reviewed the budget and had considerable discussion on it. Basically, have a fairly conservative budget, looking for a total budget revenues of $34.9 million. Total operating expense of budgeted at 29.3. Total capital budget of 26.5 million, which should still leave us with cash flow projections for the end of 2021. You say it is fairly conservative, and after considerable discussion and review, consensus of the Planning Commission or committee to accept the presented 21 WMU budget with the inclusion of some recommended adjustments that we made and update the 2021 budget will be submitted to the commission for review at the September 14th meeting. I think we'll have that next on the agenda for review. Also at the meeting, we had some discussions and we had an engineering technician, David Antrist, was at the committee meeting and he talked about the EV charging station project. This goes back to the Volkswagen settlement order to put in charging stations across the nation. We have had received some application and grants and they're in the process of trying to put one of these stations in and Wilmer. Looking at our rates is the location of this would be at the Super 8. And with our rates, with our on-demand rate, that would make it considerably expensive to do one or two charges at that station in a month's time. So staff reviewed some of the input planning committee and we're gonna use a base rate and the rule of 100 formula, which is being used by other utilities. The rule of 100 calculates customer demand as follows: total kilowatt hour monthly divided by 100. The standard demand rate would then be applied to the calculated demand. And it was proposed for a 4-year plan to use our standard commercial rate for the first year with no demand charge. For the second year, it would be used with the rule of 100 calculation. The fourth year would be a larger demand rate would be used with the standard demand rate. When 30 vehicles charge at the charging station, the cost and responsibility associated with the project. Basically, we're viewed mainly we're trying to attempt to recoup our costs with a transformer that's got to be installed out there. But following discussion, it was a consensus of the planning committee to respond to CEF with the proposed 3-year rate concept with flexibility on the 30 vehicle count on the base to transition to the WMU standard rate. So I guess if there are questions, we could try to respond to them. If not, that concluded the planning commission and we adjourned at 1:50 p.m. on that day. So I'll make a motion to file the minutes.
And I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Lahmer to file the minutes. Any discussion on the minutes? All right, hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll in the minutes, please. Did we lose Beth?
Beth, you're on mute.
Okay, there we go. Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, the motion to file the minutes has passed. Thank you. And thank you, Commissioner DeBleek, for the update on that. Next, we'd be looking for a request on approval for the 2021 budget. Commissioner DeBleek covered that in the meeting here a little bit, but General Manager Heron, you've got the information up here. Perhaps you can give a little bit more of an overview as to some of the changes that were made. I know there was an original budget proposed and some adjustments that the planning committee had requested, and that's what's in our packet today. So if you could run through that, that would be great.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. Andrew, did you want to field those questions or? You can get off of, you can get your mic on, right?
There we go.
Want to run through them?
Yeah. I guess the change at the in the end here was to not be quite so conservative on our revenue estimation, to kind of recover our COVID over the next 3 years for revenues. We originally anticipated, just looking at our 2020 revenue as of 6 months and projecting that out, and then carrying that forward for 3 years or throughout the 5 year. Do you have any other changes, John?
That's Andrew captured at a high level. We looked at our past 6 months and we used that as our projections. When we went into the planning committee, the budgets were prepared as such. However, at staff level, when we were analyzing our budgets and really what is the true impact, the question surfaced, are we being overly conservative? So as we wrapped up the billing going into the planning committee meeting, we pulled that data up and we looked at that information by customer sector, meaning we looked at our industrial customers, we looked at our commercial customers, and we broke down our commercial customers even farther by hospitality, hospitals, schools, and then the residential. And what we found, for the most part, this past month, with the exception of the hospitality sector, most businesses have bounced back. Not quite where they were in 2019, but from year to year, there's slight fluctuation regardless. So within margin of error, I would say we are at. So the planning committee further analyzed the data, and the conclusion from the planning committee was that we can anticipate more revenue than what we had prepared the budgets with. For the additional information, if you go to your planning committee screen, you don't have to do it now, but if you're looking at it, you can see what we originally proposed after the meeting. Andrea had the spreadsheets live. We were looking at the numbers, incorporating the numbers into the spreadsheets, and the outcome of that meeting is what we have in front of the commission today. Less conservative, but still fairly conservative in our projections. Planning Commission was comfortable with the numbers, with the updated numbers, based on the information we had at that meeting. Now, a lot of variables yet that the Planning Committee took into consideration. And by all means, Planning Committee, you know, interject here if I'm not properly conveying or missing something here in our discussion. We looked at or talked about what will the COVID impact have on the school districts when they open? Will they be shut down? What will the election have? What will the governor have? Is the governor going to shut down the economy here in Minnesota again? So taking those additional discussion items in, we wanted to maintain a fairly conservative budget. So with that said, when you look at it, if we can jump, I'll jump to the cash flow. When you look at it from last year to this year, significant difference. What I have up on the screen is the statement of cash flow electric. We're sitting at $6 million. Last year, we met the target. Our target is to maintain at least 6 months of revenue. On the electric side, 6 months of revenue is about $16 million, so we're $10 million off on the electric fund, water fund, we're sitting at a negative $615,000. Revenues of about $3 million, $3.5 million on the electric side. So we want to maintain $2 million there. So with that said, planning committee feels it's fairly conservative, and we continue. We need to continue to monitor as we come into the end of the year and into next year to see where things are at. As we back up on both our electric and water, on electric more so than on the water, an item to note is on our power plant cleanup. We had that outside of the five-year plan last year. Based on what we are learning through our environmental impact studies, that needs to be pulled in and cleaned up sooner rather than later. Our goal last year consisted of cleaning the power plant up after a new building is up. That would give us the opportunity to move our SCADA from the power plant to our new building, give us time to move our transformer, our switchgear, things of that nature. But Wink is telling us that we need to consider that sooner. So that's been pulled in. And then on our electric construction, $15 million you see there, that was outside of our five-year plan last year as well. Reason it was outside of the five-year plan, based on transmission studies that were being completed, there would be more transmission investment needed. However, with the closing of the Benson Fiberman project, those studies indicate that further investments are needed in a transmission system at this time. So we've talked about that at commission level already. We are working with GRE in additional both Wilmer and transmission construction projects next year. So combination of transmission projects getting pulled up, COVID hitting us, power plant needing to be cleaned up, had a significant impact on our net cash balance on the bottom. So as we go forward, we will have to continue to monitor the COVID effects on that and also our building project. We still have the building project in there. Last year, I believe it was in 21, 22. We have it in 2025 to keep it in our five-year window here for rates as we look and assess rates. With that said, I'll jump back over to the water. Here in the water fund, you'll see we got $16 million for the water treatment plant. More to come on that. We are in design stages. Hopefully by the end of the year, first part of next year, we'll have plans, 90-95% complete. At that point in time, that'll give us the opportunity to take another look. Do we need to move forward next year or don't we? If we do, we will need to float a bond for it. If we can push it off one more year, that decision will be made at that time. When you look at our negative $615,000, our present rates, rate ordinance goes out to 2023. We are going to have to be sensitive to that when we move forward with that project. If we do move forward with it this year and COVID continues to have the effect on us as the assumptions were made in this budget. So financing could potentially get to be somewhat challenging with our present rate structures if we get going too soon. If we can push it out one year, again, that's if. I'm not indicating we're going to be able to. We're going to have to look at capacity needs of the community before that decision is made. But either way, even if we do go forward and COVID continues to hit, we're going to have to structure those bond payments to make sure we can that we have the revenue required to meet the bond obligations in 2024 when payments would be due. If we back up to the electric, again, we're sitting here at $6 million. One concept that the planning committee asked staff to bring forward after we have the water treatment plant design completed, so we know what our actual costs are there, and we see the impact of what COVID will have on our capacity needs in the community, that we may look at bonding for not only the water treatment plant, but also our electric transmission investments and minimize the need for additional rate increases or
less significant rate increases on the electric side. So I think that probably covers the planning committee's discussion and how we arrived at where we are. Like I said, I believe it's fairly conservative. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Chair Mattern, and if there's anything from the planning committee that they would further add or have questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you for the update, John. One quick question that I have, and it's probably a two-part question, but looking at the changes that the planning committee had requested as you guys were going through the documents, the first part of the question, were the majority of those changes applicable to the statement of cash flows and not necessarily to next year's 2021 operating budget?
That would be correct.
And then the second part of that is the majority of those changes on the statement of cash flows, does that apply mostly then to revenue assumptions, or were there other changes throughout?
Mainly revenue in our O&M side, mainly to revenue, which then carried forward to our statement of cash flows.
Okay, thank you. Just looking for clarity on that. Appreciate that report. Commissioners, any other questions on the budget for 2021?
I guess I've got a question on this for you, John. Is I don't see, if we talk about bonding, I don't see where any bonding amounts are put in here and added back into the cash flow, or am I missing that?
No, that would be correct, Commissioner Magnuson. We talked about, or the planning committee requested staff to bring bonding options back here early 2021. At our meeting, we did not inject any bond dollars in any of our cash flow statements, as we didn't have the information available at that point in time. To further expand on that, what was talked about at the planning committee level was not necessarily to bond for all the transmission investment, but maybe look at a hybrid of using some cash and some bond funds based on what based on the dynamics at the time when we're looking at the data. That answer your question, Commissioner Magnuson?
Yep.
And to follow up on that, regarding the bonding, at what point would some of those decisions need to be made?
We'll need to make a decision, Commissioner Mattern, with the water treatment plant prior to moving forward with our water treatment plant.
Okay.
Construction. So, like I said a little bit earlier, once we have design done, we'll get an estimated cost estimate. Estimate sitting right now at between 12 and 13 million, I believe. We got 16 million there. That's for bond covenants and reserves. So we'll be receiving updated numbers here at the end of the year, first quarter next year at the latest. And at that point in time, we'll have to make that decision. Do we put that project on a shelf for a year, or do we move forward with it? At that point in time, if say hypothetically we move forward as a water treatment plant, we bond for it, at that point in time would be the appropriate time to talk about combining one bond for both the transmission investment and the water treatment plant investment. So our first discussion would be at that point in time regarding bond funds and how do we approach our transmission investments, whether we bond form or pay cash form. With that said, we still, even next year, and bond market is going to play into it. The planning committee talked about the bond market as well. The bond market is very, very attractive. We probably could pick up a bond, and Sean, maybe you're aware of Citi. I don't know if they're financial consultant has talked to at the city council at all about bonds or city staff, but I'd venture to guess we could sell a bond now for less than 3%, probably in the 2.5 range if I had to guess. So we'll have to make that decision. Do we sell a bond just for the water treatment plant? Do we sell a bond for our transmission investments separately? Transmission investments have to go next year. Completion date on them is spring of 2022. So we could sell a bond just for transmission investments next year if we elect to hold a water treatment plant back a year, float another bond in 2022 for the water treatment plant, or if it makes sense to do the water treatment plant next year, we could do one bond for all of it.
Just a question for me to understand. If we would approve the budget as presented today, there are still a lot of unknowns in this budget. How would we recommend that? Would we ask for an update after we decide about the bonds? Would we change the budget, or how would we handle that?
Commissioner Lamar, no. You would adopt the budget and our capital plan as presented today. And once we have more information coming into the first of the year, the decision would be made then to either pay cash for transmission investments or to bond for it. It would not affect 2021 budgets.
Okay, thank you.
Presented here today.
Good questions. Commissioners, any other questions on the budgets? If not, I would look for a resolution for approval for the 2021 budgets as presented.
I'll make that resolution.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a resolution from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Lahmer. This is for approval of the 2021 budgets as presented. Any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take a roll, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
The resolution passes. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Next on our agenda, we've got our monthly financial reports, and I will turn that over to our Finance and Office Services Supervisor, Ms. Precker.
Okay, thank you. So starting with the electric, we're looking at July here, 7 months of the year data. Operating revenues year to date, down still $456,000 from prior year. Our overall retained earnings down $367,000 from prior year. Operating expenses were pretty even to prior year. For water, year to date is up $267,561 from prior year, but also keep in mind with the rate increase, this is still about $65,000 less than we would anticipate from prior year. With the expenses down about $109,000, that leaves our retained earnings up $373,551 from prior year. The heating, a little activity there for expenses, just a couple revenues trickling in. So it's showing our retained earnings for year to date is a negative $120,864. So overall, with all divisions for July, our year-to-date operating revenues down about $446,000 from prior year. Operating expenses pretty even, which leaves our retained earnings down about $323,292 from the prior year. And our graphs to depict year-to-date compared to prior year-to-date revenue, expenses, and retained earnings.
All right, and I'll let you continue on with the investment portfolio.
Okay. So this is showing our investment balance for July at $32,352,752. And the benchmarks there with the yields. All within those benchmarks, so.
Andrea, can you explain what we're looking at with the negative rate on the jumbo account at the top there?
Yes. And that has to do with the year-to-date change in value. I'm just gonna pull something up here quick.
Have it, Andrea. Otherwise, Commissioner Mattern, I can take it if you want me to, Andrea.
Okay, go ahead.
There was at Heritage Bank, we have two accounts there. We got a jumbo and then we got a jumbo ICS. There was a transfer of dollars basically on interest earning from the jumbo to the jumbo ICS. So you can see we transferred $2 million there. We were at $2 million in jumbo ICS and we had $2 million in the straight jumbo. So that has to do with the transfer between the two funds.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification there. Everything else looks about where things are at for rates right now, that's for sure. Okay, commissioners, any questions on that update? All right, thank you, Andrea.
Yep.
Next on the agenda, we have the July 2020 cost of power report, and I'll turn that over to Ms. Moratsky.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. Looking at the cost of power report for July 2020, the cost of power is at 9.2 cents per kilowatt. And compared to 2019 at 8.6, it is higher. However, the things to keep in mind is that we do have the severance and performance packages that were paid out in July for the closing of the power plant. And then we also had some additional wind costs for repairs of wind turbine 3. So if you take those out, it actually brings that cost down to about 8.4 cents. So this would be an anomaly with this year. Next year, I would see it being about in line.
Okay, thank you for that update. Commissioners, any question on that report? All right, thank you, Michelle. Next, we have our August 2020 wind turbine report. Mr. Marty.
Yes, thank you. As you can see on the chart there for August, August is typically, July and August are typically our lowest production months for wind. I'll point out right away, we're missing the data for July is incorrect. I believe that there was a missed, I didn't notice it till this morning. You'll see it when we go down to the next page, but we only had about 184,774 was actually July's output. So as you look at the previous screen, that kind of skews that off a little bit. Availability for August, 96.3 for number 3, 91.5 for number 4. Those are no mechanical breakdowns for the month. Those are basically both contributed to, we had a couple of outages when we had some of those storms roll through. In late August, the lightning storms and things where it would set an alarm on the system. And our policy is during the summer months or when it's not freezing, we do not log in and reset those alarms until the following day. So if you do the calculation on about 95% availability, that's about 25 to 30 hours for a month. 35 hours, so it's a couple, 2-3 days in there, 4 days when the guys got tripped out for storms and those sorts of things overnight or over a weekend, and that's what drives our availability down a little bit. Otherwise, both towers have been working real well. So total output for the month was 352,244, which looking back over the last 3-4 years, you can see is a above average or average month for August. So still feel like we're on pace to have a good month or a good year. And the guys are currently halfway through annual maintenance on the turbines as we speak.
Kevin, do you have an estimated date when they'll be wrapped up with that?
They finished up the one turbine 3 last week in about 3.5-4 days and got started on number 4 on Friday. So I'm hoping, depending on tomorrow, it's supposed to be a little windy. It may be too windy to climb, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm hoping by mid to late week this week, we'll have our annual maintenances wrapped up. And during that, they'll also be taking oil samples so we can have those analyzed and you know, it helps us plan for next year's maintenance as well.
Sounds good. All right, thank you for that update. Commissioners, any questions on the wind turbines?
Commissioner Matter, I got a question for Kevin. Kevin, you and I didn't talk about this. Do we want to talk about that hub ring, maybe just an FYI for the commission, in event something goes wrong?
Yeah, we did have back in June, July, somewhere in there. We did have, when the guys went out to do maintenance, or actually one of the linemen found it on the ground, there was a hub bolt that had worked its way out of the turbine and fallen to the ground. Luckily, there was nobody standing there watching it, or they'd gotten hit on the head, but we were able to find it, and the guys were able to locate where it came from. It's actually one of the studs or bolts that holds the blade onto the hub itself. I have to look back. I want to say there's approximately 50 or 60 of these bolts. They're probably a foot long, fairly good size. And we were able to purchase some new, the nuts that hold it on. Once they got it cleaned up, the nuts was cracked. So we were able to purchase new stud and nuts from Olympia down in Oklahoma, and then replace that. But the hub itself, or the blade mounting plate basically that mounts onto this hub, it's about an inch and a half thick. It actually has a hairline crack in it. So we're not sure what caused that, if the stud working its way out caused the crack, or the crack caused the stud to work its way out. We're really not sure about that, but each week when the guys climb that turbine, they are monitoring that. They installed the new one and torqued it in place, and then put some paint marks on it so they can monitor any movement and the cracking of that plate, basically, because if it gets too far gone, it's basically part of the blade. So we're obviously monitoring that with cautiously watching that progress.
With the crack itself, is there any sealing or anything that's done with the crack?
No
repair work?
No, there really isn't any repair work that we've done with it. Where it is, at least, you could take the blade off and lower it to the ground and re-weld or that sort of thing. But it's only cracked on like the outside. At least from what we can see right now, it's the outside surface. So it's not, the crack isn't extended itself into the center of the hub. So that's why we're kind of keeping an eye on it right now. It's the outer surface, and only it's cracked on that outer portion of where that bolt where the bolt goes through. I do have photos of it, and I could have, for next month's update, I could have them uploaded, and you can kind of get a better sense on what that looks like for next month's report, if you'd like.
I think that would be good.
Okay. We'll make sure that happens.
Thank you for that update. And yes, we need to keep an eye on that for sure. So hopefully it's not an issue, but need to keep an eye to know.
Correct.
All right. Thank you for that update also.
You're welcome.
All right, next on our agenda, we have the annual pen test, and I'm going to turn this one over to Mr. Sangren.
All right, thank you. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's that time of year again for the annual pen test. This year, we're going to be performing both pen tests again, external and internal. Last year was our first year of doing the internal. And as you may recall, last year we selected a new vendor, White Oak Security, to perform these tests. And the reason we did that was to just get a different vendor's perspective, and also to kind of confirm the previous vendor's results as well. This year, I'm recommending that we once again use White Oak to perform these tests. They did a good, thorough job last year, especially not knowing what to expect on the internal pen test. I thought they did very well, and they were just a good company to work with, a good experience. Going forward, I would ultimately like to get in on a two-year rotating schedule with White Oak and another vendor, possibly our predecessor. And basically the reason for that is just to make sure that one vendor doesn't become too familiar with our system. I think they'd be professional enough not to do that, but that they can not get too familiar, and also just not having too many vendors in there at the same time, not at the same time, but year after year, I should say. So I did receive two quotes for this project. Ultimately, I did want to use White Oak again this year, but I did go out to get a quote just to keep checks and balances. And for confidentiality reasons, I did not list the other vendor's quote. They were substantially higher than White Oak, and White Oak came in at $15,591, the same price as they did last year. And I also did not attach White Oak's statement of work just for confidentiality and proprietary reasons. But if you're interested in seeing that, I will gladly share it with you. One other thing I wanted to mention was that I did reach out to Department of Homeland Security last week. And quite frankly, I was surprised they responded pretty quickly. But they kind of gave me the canned answer that I've always gotten, that basically we're still on the list, but they really can't give us an estimate of where they are for some reason. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Mike. We will remain on that list indefinitely.
Yeah, I think so.
The way it kind of goes with those folks. But anyway, I think you're on the right track with kind of your plan of attack on doing these pen tests the way that you are. I like the idea of alternating in the future. I think that not only does it address a potential complacency issue, but each company does look at something a little bit differently. And so that way we can make sure that we're covering as broad of an area of our cybersecurity as we can by doing that. So, commissioners, any questions on what's been presented here from Mike? If not, I would look for a resolution for approval of the contract with White Oak Security.
I'll make that motion for that resolution.
I'll second that.
All right, I have a resolution from Commissioner Lahmer and a second from Commissioner Erickson. Any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Lahmer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
And Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you again, Mike, for the update.
All right, thank you.
Next on our agenda, we're going to look at a recap from the MMUA Summer Conference. It was a virtual event this year. I had the opportunity to partake in just a portion of it. I was actually out in other meetings as well, but I found it interesting, especially when they come to the various legislative issues, which is a lot of what they cover. One of the speakers in particular, Michael Nolan, on the first day, he had a lot of information from out in the DC area and at the federal level that I personally found fascinating. But for a little bit more update and kind of a special occurrence of events that took place, I'm gonna pass this over to Commissioner Lahmer and DeBleek and have them provide a quick summary as well. And Commissioner Lahmer, I'll start with you.
Quick, I can't go quick after Wilson talked for 2 or 3 hours. Okay, but I'll try. Kit Wilson, he's spoken before the association in the past. He's a very outgoing speaker, you know, has little stories here and there. He talked on coping with the change of stress and the communication dynamics of COVID-19. He had 13 different points to begin with regarding, how to handle it. To begin with, some of those things were setting goals, develop the right image, time management, write your own personal mission, behave like you're a consultant, continue your education, stay in school. And there were 5 more things that he listed. And then at the end, he did that part of his talk, he described physical remedies, versus psychological remedies. I thought that worked out. That was a good kind of recap of the whole talk there. And just to let you know, you can go out to YouTube for Kit to see what he does. He puts a lot of these online, or his address is kit@welshland.com. And then the second part was the communication model, and he talked about the five laws of communication. Number one, communication is a process. Six criteria of personal credibility he described. Number two, communication is complex. You know, what do people think? How do they believe? That type of thing. Who do you think you are? Who you believe I think you are, and really who I think you are. So different points there. Messages, not meanings, are communicated. Messages are in words. Meanings are in people and how they interpret those words. So again, you know, that relates back to when you say something, how does that other person interpret what you're saying? And then number four of the five laws of communication was one cannot not communicate, no matter what you say or don't say. People apply a meaning to it. And then number five was two elements, contact, content, and relationship as far as communication. And there he stated, get it done, get it right, get along, get appreciation. So he did a good job, I felt, and he did a little action plan on the back. We chose to put that in and to try it. So he was a good speaker, gives you lots of ideas. And as usual, you'll pick up one or two of those and share them. But I encourage you, if you can, to go to his website or to the YouTube, and you can get a lot of that information that he provided. Okay, then I'll turn it over to Bruce.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. You recapped that fairly well. Yes, Jack Cagle had a very enlightening, interesting presentation. We called it the MMUA Long Road to 2020. He did a very good analogy from taking MMUA from the very start of it all the way up to 2020. A lot of interesting photos, historical photos, and historical stuff that he put in his presentation. So. And then the other one highlight is was the Washington scene with Michael Nolan. He did a very good enlightening talk on what's happening, what's going on in Washington. I always enjoy his presentation. So with that, they had Leading Public Power. There was a presentation put on. It was a discussion group about city operations during COVID-19. And a lot of good discussion and conversation there. So I don't know if John wants to say anything about the first day.
Sure. No. Thank you, Commissioner DeBlake, Commissioner Lamar. A couple things that I can fill in on yet. Carol and Bruce done a very nice job of recapping. We had Jim Paradikes, Ron Kennedy, and Chris Nagel talked about transmission investments. Those individuals are our consultants that we use as well to assist us in our transmission, tracking our transmission costs and revenues. So they did a very nice presentation there. ROE, return on equity, is still around 10%, so very attractive. Our business meeting, Carol, with her term expiring and hitting term limits here, she stepped down from the MMUA board at the meeting as well. There's her plaque for serving. And Bruce was appointed. Bruce, I believe you were appointed to fill the remainder of Carol's term. I don't know if that's 1 year, 2 years, what's left there. And then also we approved our budgets at our business meeting. which consists of no rate increases this year. However, their five-year average is running 3.6. So we're appreciative of the MMUA board for that as well, for holding rates due to the times that we are working with here with the COVID and the challenges that come with that. Also at the business meeting or at the MMUA meeting here, the president, the outgoing president, also acknowledges an individual or a group of individuals for their outstanding efforts for the year. Our outgoing president was Vernell Roberts from Detroit Lakes. And Vernell actually recognized all the municipal utility employees for the extra work that they have and that they have embraced with the COVID and the social distancing and continuing to work safe and be safe in their professions and while maintaining reliability. So thank you goes out to Vernell Roberts for recognizing all the utility staff this past year here. One last thing, we got technical specification updates again coming with our distributed generation. MMUA and Missouri River are both working on the updated manual for which would then incorporate all the Minnesota changes to our distributed generation interconnections. So that would pretty much capture Commissioner Lemire, Commissioner DeBleek, myself here pretty much captures the high level highlights of our MMUA summer conference. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Mattern for any additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Heron and Commissioner Lemire and DeBleek for the updates. Commissioner Lemire, I see your hand there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm waiting to get your attention. Thank you, Justin. Just one thing, when they talked about the transmission, what's going on with that, I was really proud to be with Wilmer Utilities because they are, our organization is really doing well, and where we are, they showed of all the places what they're doing, the different municipalities that of how they're attacking, or money that they're getting, how they're doing it with the transmission lines. And we were always in the within the top five or six organizations that were accomplishing and having good numbers showing for our transmission. So that was good to see. And if anybody wants to see that, they're more than welcome to I'll share my information here. And then the other thing, when John talks about the standards coming, oh my goodness, that was intense, but it really got down into how it's going to happen. There's all I thought at that time is, boy, I'm glad I'm not actual employee of the utilities at that time, because it was pretty intense going over the regulations and which ones are in effect and which ones are going to be in effect eventually. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Lemire. I have to chuckle a little bit at the regulations. We're told that the administration and DC is doing some things to deregulate a little bit. And I think sometimes deregulation means they're just doing a couple less than last year. But in any case, thank you again for the update. And Commissioner Lemire, thank you for your time on the board with MMUA. I know that you've been extremely dedicated and given a lot of time in that arena. We appreciate your time there. And thank you to Commissioner DeBleek for being willing to step up and take over that role as well. So it was a good transition to see. All right, commissioners, any questions on those reports? If not, we will move into our commissioner terms and reappointments. On the screen here, we see everybody's term and when we're looking to come to the end of those terms. We're trying to find a way around the city charter to allow Commissioner Lemire to come back for a fourth term, but I don't think, I think you can take a year off and come back. So, so her term will be up this year. We'll be looking for sure to fill that seat. The only other term that's set to expire is Commissioner Weber, and I think we can maybe strong arm him into a third term. I don't want to put him on the spot, but if he's willing to commit to that today, we'll take it. If you don't have a decision yet, let me know as soon as possible.
Oh, I agree to continue, Mr.
Excellent.
Chair.
we will gladly take you back. So thank you for that, Nathan. Commissioner DeBleek?
Commissioner. Yeah, Beth, you've got my, the number you have listed for me is my home number. I'll send you a message with our cell number.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Updated. Thank you. Any other commissioners, if you're looking at any changes in the upcoming year, if you're not sure if you're able to come back, please let me know as soon as possible. But at this point, we're hoping everybody can return for a continuation. So with that, we will move on to the next agenda item, and that is our general manager's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. Under my reports, you'll see that the agenda topics that we have coming up for our Planning and Labor Committee meeting. When they come up, time's appropriate, we will have those scheduled. At this point in time, we do not have a tentative date for either of those two. However, as we move on to our future meetings down on item number 11, future meetings, we got our Missouri River Municipal Power Leadership Academy. Beth has the brochure attached. If anybody has time, I would encourage you to take that in on the commission. It'll give you a high level and a good insight into Missouri River, what they do, the services they provide, and where our power actually comes from. So if we have Carol signed up right now, anyone else has time, it's virtual. It doesn't happen very often, but this year it's virtual. So if you want to take advantage of that, not have to travel, please let Beth know and she'll sign you up. Other than that, I would conclude my report. Unless there's questions, be more than pleased to field some questions if anybody has some.
Thank you, John. go ahead, Commissioner.
I was just going to say that Leadership Academy, it's no charge with it. So, and it's half day on 2 days. So it's not consuming two whole days with that.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Lemire. Missouri River, when they had to change it from virtual or from being in person down Sioux Falls to virtual, they also waived the webinar fees or conference fees as well. So it's about as good as it gets for a webinar or conference.
I know for those of us who it's difficult to get away when these events take place in person, having some of these virtual opportunities, even if you're able to participate in just a portion of it, I would strongly encourage everyone to try and take in a little bit of that if they can. So it's a fantastic opportunity. All right. Anything else to come before the commission today?
Just can I just say on the Red Rock project, sure. That we got that report 2 weeks ago, is it, from them, and that they had to cancel the actual tour and stuff that was going to happen down there. But they are going to have a tour at this point. They're planning on next year to be able to, so you can go there if you want to and see it. They, at the presentation they did, they just had different speakers talking and congratulating them for getting the job done and that sort of thing. But next year down Pillow, that's where the Red Rock is, where the dam that they per se reconstructed to provide electricity. Well, they were planning on doing a live tour at that time.
Thank you for the update.
That's a very nice addition to our energy supply mix. It's 36 megawatt nameplate of hydropower. Depending on the run of the river, it's capable of putting out all the way up to 50 megawatts. So nice addition. It's environmentally friendly, carbon-free, and renewable.
And stable.
Stable, yes.
And inexpensive, relatively speaking. So we'll take all of the above. All right, anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I heard. All right. We have a motion to adjourn and a second. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.